Before I begin, I did forget something this morning. We have a very special musician here with us today, Ryan Mulrennan. I say that right? Ryan is one of Emily's students. He's come to play for us today. We're very happy he's here to share his gift with us, and we look forward to hearing that here in just a bit. We travel this earthly pathway, sometimes together, sometimes alone. This journey takes us through the valleys and the mountaintops of life. This journey winds through our years, through the relationships that we foster, the choices that we make, the side roads we choose to go down. We look back on the journey, and there have been some great moments of joy and hope. Moments when the journey seemed easy, when the choices were simple, when the path was sure. But as we look back, we see that there were other times. Times when it was darker. Times when the storm clouds seemed to gather, when the way was harder, when the choices were grayer, when there were moments of grief and struggle. But we travel on, taking each new day as it is, full of hope and danger, full of mundane and unexpected. We continue this sojourn, walking along, living this life God has blessed us with as best we can. Another day comes to an end, and we decide to stop for the night, to set up camp. We find a place, a small indentation in the land, a small crater, it seems, that lets us settle in beneath the cool night wind. We roll out our sleeping bag. We make a small fire. We settle in for the night. A pause on our journey. We lay down and our mind wanders back to the day that was. It was a good day. There have been many of those lately, and it brings a soft smile to our face. There have been other times on the journey when the good days linked up, when we had a good run, when life was smiles and laughter and joy. We feel blessed. We thank God for these last few days. They have been good days. We feel good, hopeful, expectant. Maybe tomorrow will be a good day. Through the night we rest, our thoughts tuned down, our body at sleep, our spirit wandering, playing out fantasies and worries of what tomorrow might hold when the morning breaks. But for now, our hearts lie easy, content in the good day we had, hopeful in the good day tomorrow might be. As the sun dawns upon us, in the cool morning air we rise. Our bodies are stiff. It takes us a moment to stretch and rise. Muscles a little sore from the hard ground, but as they get moving, we can feel life re-enter them. Our joints pop and crack a bit more these mornings, more than they used to. When we were young, we jumped up in the morning, full of energy and vigor. These days, it's taking a little longer, but we rise, a smile on our face. The day has dawned. Maybe it's going to be a good one. Yesterday was. We gather our life up. We roll our journey for the day. We pack it in tight. We grab our walking stick, and we prepare to hit the road again. And then we see it. As we step back from the crater that was our camp on this past night, we notice that it is not natural. It is not caused from a fallen tree or a wet, sunken spot. This crater, this hole is different. It is long, getting wider towards the top, where there are five small indentations. As we step back in the morning light, it begins to come into focus. This was no mere low spot in the world. This was a footprint. And slowly we draw our breath in as we realize our journey has brought us to a place of danger and turmoil. We did not realize it when we were walking the road yesterday, but our path has turned into a darker place, a barren land, and our heart begins to sadden as we realize that the run of good days we have has ended. This will not be a good day, and there may not be many after it, for we have entered a harsh land now. And while we don't yet know all that today will hold, we do know one thing for certain. There be giants here. The story of David and Goliath is one that we have heard since Sunday school, since vacation Bible school. It's the story we put into children's Bibles, into storybooks. That makes sense. The protagonist of the story is a child, a young boy, David, someone that kids can relate to. So we tell them this story of the young boy and the giant he faced. Scripture is very detailed in this story. While some of our stories from the Bible, we have to fill the gaps in, this story is laid out over an entire chapter in 1 Samuel. It covers over 50 verses. That's why it was so chopped up when Pat was reading it, was I wanted to get the story of David and Goliath, but I didn't necessarily want her to have to read 50 verses to do it. So I chopped it down so we could hear the high points. Saul, the king of the Israelites, has gathered his army. He has brought them to the battlefield. They stand across from the Philistines, a neighboring country. The war has not been settled yet, though, because the Philistines have a ringer, their champion, the giant Goliath. Rather than simply engage their enemy in battle, the Philistines send Goliath out each morning to issue a challenge. Rather than fighting army to army, risking much life and death, Goliath will simply fight the best man in the army of Israel, one-on-one, mano a mano, for all the marbles. One fight to decide who wins this battle and who loses. Each morning, the giant, 9 feet tall, 1,000 pounds, armored like a tank, marches onto the field and issues his challenge, and each morning the army of Israel cowers in fear. Who could possibly face this giant? David in the story is a boy, a child. He helps his father to work his herds in the field, and one day his father sends him to the battlefield to check on his older brothers who serve in the army. David arrives to find the army shivering in fear, and he cannot understand. They are the chosen ones, the people of God, and they are afraid of what? So David stays and hears the giant's call that morning, his loud voice challenging the Israelites, mocking their God, and David says, "I will face him." The battle-hardened soldiers laugh at him. "You don't know what you're saying, boy. This is no mere man. This is a monster. A giant that will crush your bones and eat your flesh. He is unbeatable. He is invincible. He is unstoppable. Go home. Tend to your flocks and forget your foolishness." But David is not deterred. "I will stand for God on the battlefield. I will stand against this giant, this behemoth, and I will win. Because God is with me. God is on my side." Saul tries to placate him. He gives David his armor, but it's armor that's been built for a man, not a boy. And David looks more like he's playing dress up in his father's closet than getting ready to march to war. David sheds the too large armor. Instead, gathers his slingshot, and he goes down to the river, to the wadi, and he collects 5 smooth stones. He walks out to meet Goliath. The giant sees him and laughs at him. This is your champion, Israel? A boy? A child? This is a truly sad day for the nation of Israel when all they can muster is this wee one to fight their battles. And then David speaks. You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. And so they fight. The giant draws up to his full height. He fills the sky with his silhouette. He is massive. He seems to block out the very sun this day. This is going to be a massacre. Poor David is doomed. But David doesn't flinch. He reaches into his bag and takes the first stone. He places it in the sling. He winds up and lets fly. The soldiers watch as the stone arcs through the sky. Surely it will simply bounce off this mountain who walks like a man. But then something happens. The stone finds a small spot on the giant's forehead, right under his helmet of bronze, and it lands there with a small thud. The giant stops for a moment, seemingly perplexed by the mosquito bite he has just received on his head. He seems annoyed, stunned, confused at what has just happened. And then his eyes roll back in his head, his shoulders slump forward, his knees buckle, and he collapses in a pile on the field, defeated by the boy. It's a tale we have heard and told for centuries, a story so well known that it has taken its place in our cultural lexicon, an image of small and courageous over large and powerful. We look to David and wonder what it was. Was it luck? Did he just happen to pick the right stone? You know, he's out in the field all day with the herds. He's down by the river skipping rocks. Surely he's realized how to pick a good stone, right? A stone that is flat, that is smoothed by time, that will take on new properties as you fling it through the air. Did he just happen to hit the right spot? That one spot would have worked. Had it been just an inch higher, it would have bounced off the helmet. Had it been an inch lower, it would have simply bloodied the giant's nose. Was it the sinewy muscles David had formed while working in the field? Were his arms powerful enough to give the rock the velocity it needed to be lethal? Did the boy have an in-depth understanding of physiology after fighting off lions and bears? Being in nature, did he just know that the skull has a weakness, a soft spot where you could find luck? Was he just really good with that sling? I mean, he spends hours in the field with the flock. There's nothing to do. He's probably used that thing, that sling, a million times. He's probably deadly accurate with it. He's had time to fashion this child's toy into a killing machine. But no, it was none of those things. David didn't kill Goliath with a rock. He didn't beat Goliath with skill or courage. He didn't win because he was lucky or it was a one in a million shot. David beat Goliath with faith. It makes sense. This boy was not going to out-muscle, out-work, out-perform the giant. In an arm wrestling match, Goliath would have pulled off David's arms and beat him with them. No, this had to be something else. Something unseen, something there within David. It was his faith. Faith brought the giant down. I don't know what giants you might be facing in your life right now. What monsters dwell in your path. You know them. You see them there taunting you, daring you to come face them. Maybe it's loneliness or addiction. Maybe it's fear or worry. Maybe it's regret or anger. We all have our own Goliaths, these giants that stride into our lives and cause us to cower, to hide, to run. These demons we cannot defeat on our own. We've tried. We've tried to find the courage to fight them, to face them, but our hearts shiver, our spirits shake at the prospect. These giants are so large, so huge. Their shadows cast us into darkness for days. They are unending, unbeatable, unstoppable. Maybe we have fought them before that one time or two where we mustered up our courage, pulled up our britches, marched out there only to have the giant stomp a mud hole in us and walk it dry. No, this giant will not be beaten by your strength, by your fortitude, by your will. This will take something else, something more than you, something that doesn't come from us, but comes from God. This giant will be brought down by faith. Our faith that God stands on the battlefield with us. Faith that I do not stand here alone, but I am surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses, brothers and sisters in Christ who I lean on for help and support, who I call to for prayer and companionship. Faith that this, no matter what this is, no matter how large this giant is, no matter how powerful he might be, this is not the end of me. No matter what, for me there is more. That is what my faith gives me, that regardless of what this giant might do to me, this is not my end. My faith gives me tomorrow, and tomorrow for eternity. David did not kill the giant with a rock. David killed the giant with faith. Faith that God was there with him on that battlefield. Faith that God would see him through. Faith that in the end, God always wins. It is that same faith that we carry with us, within us, on our journey. That same faith that rises with us in the morning light and sees the giant footsteps. Our hearts quiver, for we know there is a battle ahead. We know our giants are near. But our faith rises within us. It fills our heart with hope and peace. We gather our life on our back. We find our walking stick. We look to the horizon and know that at some point we are going to encounter that giant. But we breathe a little easier because we remember. Our faith remembers. We will not face him alone.